This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hey, it's Pat, Stu, and Jeffy in for Glenn today. Glenn's on his way back from Bangkok. He's helping out Operation Underground Railroad. Plus, one night in Bangkok makes a hard man humble. We all know that, so.
Couldn't help yourself.
Couldn't do it. We've got a lot to get to today, but first, I think we'll start with the Oscars. That was weird. Just plain weird. How do you mess up the biggest Oscar in their biggest night of the celebration of them? I don't know, but we'll start there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are
the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
That's doing Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727 Beck. Weird moment on the Oscars last night. I don't know what happened. The explanations have been kind of weird. But first of all, here's the incident. When they were awarded, they awarded La La Land Best Picture. And all of a sudden, this transpired. And by the way, this is a this is Price Waterhouse doing the accounting here.
Yeah, pretty bad. And their fault.
I'd have them not look at my books anymore.
I know.
Okay,
because they're saying, by the way, that this was
their fault,
not Warren Beatty's fault.
Right,
right. Not it was
which
the,
is bizarre.
Bizarre.
Like he was messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
He explains that. Yeah, it's a good thing because you're not. You're just not.
That's a good point.
But it's weird because he says that he had her card in his hand, right?
Yes.
Because she won for Best Supporting Actress.
Best Actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. in La La Land.
And that was just before this one.
But here's what Emma Stone said. Essentially, she's calling Warren Beatty a liar there.
Well, it's possible they just printed two cards.
Yes, it is possible.
I mean, that's probably what happened.
It is possible.
Right. I mean, you can actually replicate the words Best Actress Emma Stone on two different cards. This is not
Are
a
you
major
sure?
mystery.
Not for,
of the,
not for,
Are you
not,
sure? Not in an Oscars
episode. No, it is possible. It is possible.
It's just that, you know, Price Waterhouse, aren't they the largest accounting firm in the world and the most respected?
Yeah, little,
that's not a little mistake.
One little mix
Come
up
on.
Over the years, big deal.
That's a big deal.
I mean, it is a big deal.
I mean, and it's terrible. They rip these people up in the middle of their speeches
to
take it away from them. It's funny, too. I'm assuming that Salon.com is loaded with pieces about how, you see, even when a black person's supposed to win an Oscar, they do everything they can to take it away from them. I'm assuming.
What do you want to bet?
The hot takes are all over the place, I'm sure, today.
I don't know virtually anything about Moonlight. Is that what it is?
Well, actually, I thought this was a good, you know, not that we're the wagering types here on the program, but we do like to keep up with the betting markets. They're very predictive, I think,
you certainly
at times.
Do.
I do a lot.
Yes. I don't know where the we is coming from, but I know you do.
Well, Jeffy, he's certainly a degenerate as well.
Yeah.
That's not really the point of this. The point is to say, I looked at La La Land was the overwhelming favorite to win Best Picture last night.
Oh, really?
Overwhelming favorite. Everyone thought they were going to win. And the second favorite was Moonlight. A story coming off the years of Oscars So White, right?
Yes.
The story of a black man who is gay, and in the era of Trump, where they all want to say how racist we now are.
Right.
And the fact that they're coming off the fact that they were called racist last year, and it was 5-1 for Moonlight to win Best Picture.
Ooh.
And I was like, that's a pretty nice set of odds for that, because, you know, a lot of the other ones, you knew Arrival wasn't winning, right? I mean, it was too, you know.
It was a terrible movie anyway.
I actually didn't really like it either.
I
didn't think it was terrible.
Beyond didn't like it, I thought it was bad.
Yeah.
It's just a bad movie.
She
was bad in it. It was slow. It was didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
I'm with you, generally speaking. I didn't think she was bad, but I'm with you, generally speaking. On that one. But I mean, you knew that wasn't going to win. They always throw in, like, if you have a couple movies that are actually successful, they throw a couple of those in at the back end of those categories to say, see, we like occasionally movies that make over $12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always throw a couple of them in there, but they never win. I mean, right.
That's very true.
Generally, they don't. So, you know, Moonlight and La La Land, I mean, La La Land, despite having big stars in it, you know, it's a crappy musical. And if there's ever a thought of me going to see that movie, watching the clips of it completely convinced me I will never in my life see it.
Oh, the clips? Really?
Oh, my God. It looks terrible.
It's really not. It's not terrible.
It is.
It's really not.
You're wrong. And I haven't seen it, and you're wrong.
I'm sorry, but I kind of feel that way about Manchester by the Sea, too.
That one looks brutal. But that's it just looks sad. La La Land has a, I'm sure it's a well-done movie, but it has a structural issue in that it's a stupid musical. Yeah, and stupid musicals should not be released in the year 2017. They should not be deleted.
It's not the kind of musical that almost be, it's not like a Broadway play musical. It's not singing, singing nonstop.
But like, you know what the appropriate amount of singing is? Zero.
It's zero.
It's zero. This is a no tolerance policy.
But there's probably four or five songs in the thing.
I am the teacher who says you shouldn't bite a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun when it comes to musicals. Yeah. I am zero tolerance. You go to the principal the second you start singing. The only acceptable musical
is
one that's parodying musicals.
I mean, we all sing in life. Why can't we sing in movies?
Really? I've never heard you. It's weird.
We break out in song here all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we do, but I mean, I don't think that's normal. I guess, outside of the thing. They didn't win anyway. The Oscars, they came to the correct conclusion.
Glenn will be back tomorrow. That happens all the time.
It does happen.
All the time.
It does happen.
So
it's kind of interesting, because it was funny. I actually was watching the end of the Oscars to see who won, just because I was interested, and they said La La Land, and I pressed click on my remote, and I turned the whole thing off, so I missed the whole controversy until I saw the highlights. But I mean, it is a bore fest, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, that show, I watched a grand total of 0 minutes of the Oscar telecast,
and that's always the right decision, right?
It is.
Just like it's always the right decision to say, you know what, maybe we don't put that song in this movie. It's also the right decision to never watch the Oscars.
You know what we did instead, and it was maybe an equal mistake, was my daughter's been bugging us to watch This Is Us.
Oh, yeah.
Why you gotta watch This Is Us? So every time she comes over, have you seen This Is Us yet?
No, we
haven't watched it yet. And then the next time she comes over, have you guys watched This Is Us yet? You're going to watch This Is Us. It's the greatest show ever done. This Is Us. This Is Us is really good. No. You got to watch This Is Us.
How many times do I have to tell you?
So the next time she comes over, have you seen This Is Us yet? No! We've not seen This Is Us. Finally, I said to my wife last night, let's just watch This Is Us. See what it's all about.
Just to shut her up.
Right.
Just to shut Amber up. And so we did. I think it's agonizing.
Really?
I mean, I guess it's well done, but it's like...
Did you just watch one episode?
We watched two.
Two episodes.
And two episodes.
It's interesting.
I'm not really sucked in like everybody thought.
Yeah, my wife likes it.
My wife loves it. So yeah, I'm not really watching it myself, but I'm in the room as she has it on. And I've absorbed enough of it to know basically what's going on. I mean, it does seem like it's well done.
I liked the twist at the end of the first episode.
I don't remember.
Which I won't ruin for anybody. But I thought that was kind of interesting and well done. But the stories, I mean, I don't know. It's like we've been there, done that, all of it.
All I know is...
It's just a brazen attempt to get people to cry.
Oh, my God.
And I shed not one tear.
Well...
I'm proud of the fact that I shed not one
tear. Really?
First of all, you haven't cried since 1975. So I would say that you are not the target. I will say the target is likely my wife, who every episode at the end of it is drenched in her own tears.
Oh, man.
As if 40 family members were killed in a plane crash. There was a family reunion going on. Everyone got on the same plane. That plane crashed into the side of a mountain.
That happened to me three times last week alone, and I didn't cry.
Thankfully,
didn't
it's
cry.
Not that
didn't
bad.
Cry.
It's not that bad for my wife, but it is. There are tears shed.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know. Again, Manchester by the Sea is a good example of this, right? Everybody says the issue with this movie is it's fantastic but incredibly sad. And it's like, I don't want that in my life.
Yeah.
I've got to work with Jeffy every day. I'm sad enough.
Right.
I mean, what?
You know, it's like the daily life I live walking into this place every day, sitting next to him, is enough to depress me.
Aren't politics in this country sad enough? We don't need movies to make us even sadder.
Right.
I mean, it's okay. Enough. Enough with the sad movies and the Oscar-nominated sad movies. Nominate a movie that has made $500 million sometime. Nominate a Star Wars sometime. Of course, I don't know if they're the maybe these new ones are well en- are done well enough to win an Oscar. Rogue One wasn't good enough to be considered, even not even considered,
even for effects.
It was for effects. It was nominated.
It was nominated. Effects. Yes, they didn't win though.
They didn't win.
Didn't even win effects.
No,
that went to the Disney. Right?
Didn't Jungle Book.
Which was horrible.
You went to the Disney Jungle Book. I don't know what you're saying. It's just,
I saw the movie.
Milk. 12.
I saw the movie. I saw the movie Jungle Book.
Okay. Yeah. Recently? Because that's been out for a really long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too long ago.
All right.
It was not that good.
Did you like Jungle Book?
The original.
Okay.
You mentioned the ridiculousness of Jeffy, and kind of where we are in the world of entertainment and politics today. They came together earlier today in one of the most unbelievable interviews you will ever hear, starring the roles of Chris Cuomo and Ben Ferguson, talking about a transgendered wrestler in Texas. We could talk about the story a little bit.
Yeah, this is a big story right now.
It sure is.
We have to play at least some of this interview today, because Chris Cuomo is completely insane. It's one of the most unbelievable interviews I've ever heard in my life. Now, remember, when we last left this drama, Chris Cuomo was tweeting to people that they, because someone said, what about a 12-year-old girl in a locker room with men who are naked? And Chris Cuomo said, well, that's the fault of the girl and the intolerant father. Okay, that's how we ended the week. Now, Chris Cuomo's famous for this. It's happened multiple times. He occasionally will say something that goes too far and cannot bring it. He cannot bring up the emotion, the internal fortitude to admit that he did something wrong. So he has to defend whatever indefensible position he's taken until the end of time.
Yeah.
And he's in that position right now. And the results are hilarious. Best comedy. You will hear it later on today.
Looking forward to it, because he can be. I mean, he can be okay sometimes.
Yeah, he can. I would say largely.
And then other times, he's just out of his mind.
Yeah, Cuomo's weird because he's a lawyer, right? He's got that sense in him. So he's always taking the opposite side as the guest. I watch enough of that show to see, like, he will, when it's a person on the left, he'll ask decent questions that someone on the right would ask. He doesn't necessarily mean them necessarily, but he means this. Like, he is a passionate activist when it comes to transgendered wrestlers, apparently. It's incredible. And he can't, because he thinks he's so smart and can beat everyone in arguments, he can't realize when he's lost.
Yeah.
So he will just take the most indefensible positions over and over and over again. And he did that today. We've got some good audio on that coming up.
He tweeted about us once and we went back at him, and then he was nowhere to be seen for days.
Oh, yeah. Like, he ran for the hills.
He retreated into his little hole or whatever. And so sometimes he's caught and he doesn't know what to do. And other times he just keeps piling on.
And I will say, he's already a member in good standing of the Douche Hall of Fame. And I would advocate today on the Pat and Stu Show, which happens after this program on The Blaze, a vote for Grand Nozzle, a new Grand Nozzle of the Douche Hall of Fame. Chris Cuomo,
he's worthy of it.
It's an incredible honor. We'll see if he's worthy later on today. More of the Glenn Beck program with Pat, Stu, and Jeffy coming up.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn's coming back from Thailand right now. It takes a while, surprisingly, to get back from there.
He'll be back in 6 months or so.
Yeah.
He's on a fishing trawler.
It takes exactly 6 months to fly back from...
Oh, he's flying. Oh,
okay. It takes 6 months to fly back. If he was coming back on a troller, that'd be 17 years.
Yeah, well, it happens. we were talking about the Oscars, and I was bringing up to these guys, they didn't see any of it, which is the right move. But there was one great moment with Meryl Streep. I don't know, maybe we can get the audio for later today, but I am a big proponent of the fact that Meryl Streep is awful. In fact, as she was nominated for her Best Actress Award, which she gets every year, just like by mistake, like they don't even know that they're doing it. They showed a clip of her movie, which was, do you remember the name of it? I don't know. It's an incomprehensible mess.
Was it the Was it the Florence?
Florence Foster Jenkins. Yes.
Jenkins.
So there's a clip they play of
it's
all
a true story, by the way,
of all the movies. And
it's an interesting story.
The story is interesting. I would want to see it if not for her.
Yeah.
Like the story is interesting. It's about an heiress.
Terrible singer.
And she was a terrible singer, but she had everyone around her. They were all yes men. So
and they tried to protect her.
They tried to protect her let her think that she was a good singer.
Yeah.
So there's a point where she's singing and obviously singing horribly, which is the only thing she's capable of, by the way.
And she actually performed at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
Which had to be something else.
Go on.
Exactly.
It's truly terrible.
But they come back to Meryl Streep after showing the clip, as they always do. Mm-hmm. And even Meryl Streep is embarrassed by Meryl
Streep.
She's
cringing.
She's actually cringing at her own performance. It's incredible. But this is so last night.
Great.
Jimmy Kimmel does this joke and he's joking. But what he says is everything that's true about Meryl Streep. This is what he says. He says, we're here tonight to honor great actors, but we're also here to honor actors who seem great, but actually really aren't. And of all the great actors here in Hollywood, one in particular has stood the test of time for her many uninspiring and overrated performances. From her mediocre early work in The Deer Hunter and Out of Africa to her underwhelming performances in Kramer vs. Kramer and Sophie's Choice, Meryl Streep has phoned it in for more than 50 films over the course of her lackluster career. This is Meryl's 20th Oscar nomination, made even more amazing considering the fact that she wasn't even in a movie this year. We just wrote her name down out of habit. Meryl, stand up if you would. Everyone, please join me giving Meryl Streep a totally undeserved round of applause. The highly overrated Meryl Streep, everyone. We're going to have fun tonight. I hope we have fun tonight. Nice dress, by the way. Is that an Ivanka? Which is a kind of funny,
funny.
Ending to it. But all true. Meryl Streep, awful. It's over. It's been decided. She lost again, by the way. She's 3 of 18 now. If you're hitting 167 and remaining in the majors, let me know. But apparently Meryl's the greatest of all time.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
To listen to Democrats, Donald Trump has already suspended the United States Constitution and declared martial law.
They should love him then.
They should. If it was a Democrat doing it, they'd love them. And a Democrat has done it and they've loved them. But if it's a Republican doing any of that, or even saying that he's going to have extreme vetting before you can come into the country, then they're out of their minds.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why we didn't see that much politics in the Oscars last night. Is that the one thing that actors like to do more than bash Republicans is praise themselves.
Yeah.
So they were so focused internally on themselves and how awesome they are.
Which is great.
There was limited politics, I thought. I mean, there was a few jokes here and there, which I think should happen no matter what. I mean, you're going to have a few jokes from Kimmel or whatever. But it was not filled with lengthy political diatribes in the speeches, which I think is somewhat surprising.
It is.
You know, I was a little surprised by that. But man, Hollywood just loves itself so much. They're able to pull that off. Congratulations, Hollywood. That was impressive.
But Trump has done what I think should have been done a long time ago. He said no to the White House press dinner.
Yeah,
is one very cool thing.
We fully support
so
that. Glenn will be back ranting about that one tomorrow.
When that happens in April, he won't be a part of it. He already tweeted out, sorry, can't attend. Have a good time. Good night. God bless. And I think that's great because that is just it's a Travis Shamockery. I think we've mentioned that before, and it should have been done away with a long time ago. Now, he's the first president to say no to that horrific event since Reagan was shot, and the only reason he didn't go that year in 1981 was because he'd been shot.
Yeah, that's a good. I was gonna say that seems like a good reason.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But presidents go no matter what.
Yeah,
until Donald Trump.
Well,
so
I mean,
I really like that.
I fully support
that a lot.
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes sense. You know, they say in Donald Trump lore, there's been some reporting on this. I think McKay Hoppins did a long report on this at one point in which because Trump went to the 2011, if I remember right. And he got
and
torched.
Obama torched him.
By him. Mm-hmm. He was criticized and made to feel unimportant and unserious.
And that's because at the time he was doing the birther thing.
He was doing the birther thing. So he was getting trashed over that.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly it really affected him. Like it really bothered him because, you know, they always talk about Trump as being a guy who has lived his whole life as he was not seen as the upper circles of Manhattan real estate. His family wasn't. They were outer borough people. And so he wanted that the reason why he made such a big deal about going into Manhattan and all the big glitzy buildings and everything is because he wanted to say, no, we're supposed to be here. And it was that mm-hmm. sort of function of like, again, like here he is. He thinks he's going to be running for president, a serious guy. And they're just mocking him as a nobody. And they say, and wow, you got to watch, I guess, where your jokes go. It's a butterfly effect. They say one of the reasons why he wound up actually running instead of threatening to run like he always did is because he was so pissed off at this 2011 White House Correspondents' Dinner. And of course, then he wound up running and wound up winning and basically, you know, destroying any real argument Obama would have for a legacy. Because, I mean, you could say, OK, well, even though a lot of the stuff that he did, I obviously think is terrible. If Hillary Clinton had won and extended it, you know, eventually it would have been rewarded by historians as it always is.
And Hillary would have glorified his legacy.
Hillary would have glorified it and it would have kept going.
But Trump has already trashed his legacy, which love.
That's the best part about him.
That press conference last week where he stood up and the first thing he said was, I got to say, first of all, I inherited a mess. Okay. You don't even know. It's a mess domestically. It's a mess foreign.
How does it feel, former President Obama?
Love that. And he stressed it for about a minute and a half, what a mess he inherited. It was great.
And remember, this is an argument that was made by Obama as recently as at least last year.
They never stopped.
Pelosi made it after the election.
Yeah.
Was still making Bush arguments.
Yeah.
And it never will go away. For them. And so it's just funny to see Trump do it so overtly.
Sure is. It felt good. And I know Glenn would probably say we shouldn't be that way. But man, that felt good to give them a taste of their own medicine. So saying no to the White House press dinner, I'm all about that. I like that a lot. The other thing he did, though, last week was to ban CNN, New York Times, and Politico. Maybe the L.A. Times as well.
L.A. Times as well, yeah.
From not the press conference at the White House every day, but some other event that they hold right after it.
Well, they hold it in the press secretary's office, so they call it a gaggle or whatever. They're invited into the office and they ask questions. It's on the record, but it's not, you know, out in the open.
And CNN was pretty upset when they heard about it.
Breaking news here on CNN. I'm Brooke Baldwin. Thank you so much for being with me. The breaking news is the fact that we have just learned here at CNN that CNN has been blocked from a White House gaggle, essentially informal gathering of reporters, print, radio, television coming together to be briefed in this case by the White House. Daily briefing not happening today. And traditionally, and you've seen the pictures, lots of reporters are included in that. This is so incredibly significant because this has never happened in this administration. Not only is CNN blocked, other organizations blocked, the New York Times, the LA Times, and Politico. Apparently, the White House Correspondents Association is protesting.
So this is so significant because we're significant, and we've been left out of something.
And that is the argument, right? I mean, the argument is, because obviously, you know, the Blaze isn't getting into every press gaggle. They're just saying we're so important, we deserve to be there. Right. And look, it is
to the point where they do breaking news over it is.
I will say it's definitely the biggest news in their world. And I don't think it's without merit to be worried about, you know, some of the treatment of the street treatment of the press.
No, that's a little bit
from this administration and the previous one, by the way, when no one cared about it.
Right.
You know, I don't because they were doing this to Fox News as well. They were freezing them out. They said they didn't want to treat them as a legitimate news organization. You know, there's a lot more targets when you come to left-wing stuff. So, I mean, it's going to be...
They don't like being on the other side of it.
No, they do not.
No, as crappy as some of the coverage is by some of these sources, I would still like them to be there. And I would still like... you want the media to function. and I think, you know, Trump's point to that would be that they're not functioning, which I agree with in a lot of ways. However, not all the ways. And, you know, like, you can't just dismiss every single thing that's reported by a mainstream media source. That's not a good formula either. The, you know, bias within the media is not a good formula, and dismissing everything the media does is not a good formula for success for a nation.
You know, right. I mean, that's right.
So I there doesn't seem to be anybody who can find a midpoint on this. It would be nice if we could search one out, though, because it's important. It's pretty important.
It's been hard these first, 2 months of the Trump administration, because I'm sort of torn by almost everything he does. Some of the things I just outright like, like the White House press dinner thing. This thing I'm torn on because it feels good that CNN has been excluded from something when they couldn't. They didn't give a rat's butt about Fox, as you said, being excluded from anything.
So I will say some.
And now it's such a big deal to them.
Some of the media organizations themselves did stand up with Fox during that.
That is true.
They did actually.
It is true.
But still, it was not treated, generally speaking, as this horrible thing. There were the internal media people.
There wasn't a breaking news event on CNN,
right, to say that happened.
It was, Fox News is being excluded from the Obama administration. No, that didn't happen.
It was more of the fact of, look, we agree with your analysis that they're not a news organization, but you shouldn't do that to them. It's kind of how I feel, honestly, with them. At times, I agree that what they do as media sources, you know, particularly things like MSNBC and some of those really left-wing sources, I agree that what they do is not news at all at times.
Yeah.
However, I would still argue that I would rather have them in the
room. Well, that's what gives me mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're messing with the freedom of the press a little bit there. I mean,
he can do it. I don't think it's,
he can do it.
Yeah. Again, we talk about this all the time with freedom of religion, right? People will say, well, there's a separation of church and state, and we've not been able. What was your offer? $100,000 to anyone?
$10 million
to anyone who could find those words
in that order.
Yeah.
I should specify in that order.
Yeah, because someone tweeted it. By the way, I found them in all different places in the document.
So. Found three of them.
Three of the five.
Three of the five.
It's the same thing here. Like, freedom of the press is, we shouldn't be. The government can't control it, right? And the government should not be doing that. And this is the government, right? So, they don't have to give access to every organization. They don't give it to us all the time. I mean, the Blaze doesn't get access. Lots of websites don't get access. Lots of news organizations. It's just that CNN and the LA Times and the New York Times all see themselves as important enough to always get it. And Donald Trump says, you're not. And I like that part of it feels pretty good because I like a lot of times you want to stand up and say, what are you talking about? Screw you guys. You don't get everything. But I mean, I'd rather have more coverage than less.
Yeah.
Even if they're taking the information and spinning it to the left, I'd rather have additional perspectives because I'd rather look at them and say, OK, this is where they're wrong. And here's the little bit of it that they're right in. And you can see when you have a bunch of different ideas and voices and perspectives where those things intersect. A lot of times you find truth. Right. You know, because if you only look at partisan left media or you only look at partisan right media, you don't get the full perspective.
Yeah. And this is where the rubber meets the road with the Constitution. Do you believe it or not? I mean, should the press have access to this administration or not? Are they the lapdogs of the administration or are they the watchdogs? And they should be there to be the watchdogs. And so this is while it feels good. The principle should be that we want them there, I think, right?
Yeah, I think
so. It should be that. It's just really hard.
And by the way, let's be, to put it in perspective, they are there most of the time. This is one thing. Right. They thought it was big enough for breaking news. And it hasn't happened, but still.
We'll see what happens with the White House press, the daily press conference that they have.
I'm sure they'll be right back in there.
Yeah. They'll be right back.
They'll get all their access. Again, everything among the Trump administration is always a bigger deal than it actually is. I mean, even going to the travel ban, even going to the transgendered thing, every piece of this has been blown up into a nuclear holocaust when none of it has been.
Even the immigration thing, which he has actually been more moderate on than he ran on.
By a large margin.
By a lot.
The easiest piece of the immigration thing for everyone to understand was to get rid of the absolutely unconstitutional executive order DACA, right? Mm-hmm. To get rid of that is easy pickings, right? It was a late minute you know, last minute, last couple of years, Obama thing. It had never existed before. It was something that was a long-term debate in Congress. And when he couldn't win it in Congress, he just did it on his own. Mm-hmm. Completely the opposite of separation of powers. Very easy for people to understand. And something he ran on the whole time.
And Trump left it in place.
Not only has he left it in place, in his immigration, what he's teased as far as what he's going to do with immigration, he still left that in place, even in what he's teased. And the argument is, well, it would be too much of a hassle because, you know, you'd be saying, you know, kids would be saying, you know, well, these are children and they'd be crying and the politics would be difficult.
You can't have children cry.
You can't have children cry.
You can't have
Although them. They cry over almost everything. You know, geez.
Well, I mean, if they're American children, they can cry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to get that straight.
Yes.
If they're American families, they can be separated and they can cry all they want. We don't care. But if they're immigrants, we can't have them crying or separated.
Right.
Okay.
And it's like the transgendered thing he did with the regulations for schools is seen as the worst thing humanity has ever done to any group of people. When I forgot or must have missed, and I feel like I watch the news a lot, but I must have missed the utter outrage that existed in the first 7.5 years of Barack Obama when the standards were the same.
You did. You missed that.
We had 6 months of these standards in which they were never enforced, by the way. Mm-hmm. Literally nothing happened except a piece of paper said, you know what, we might take some funding away if you don't listen to us on this. But no funding was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So for 7.5 years of Barack Obama, and by the way, the couple centuries before that, it was one way. And for 6 months, it was the other way. We've reverted to the past 7.5 years of Obama, and now it's the worst thing of all time. I mean, it's so transparently, pathetically political that they're going to immunize Trump if he actually does something that is so horrific. If he does, no one's going to believe them because every 2 seconds they're acting as if the Holocaust has happened.
I know.
And it's like,
I know.
We've gone back to the standards of 80, 90% of Barack Obama's administration. And also every day before that.
Yes.
Okay.
And also every administration back to George
Washington's right?
Administration.
So to act as if this, you can say you think it's wrong. You can say, I wish as a transgendered activist, I wish we didn't take a half step back. Right. But you cannot say it's the craziest thing that's ever happened. The reaction is so unwarranted that you're going to immunize him against every single thing.
You don't have to
forward.
Worry. He'll never do anything wrong.
Oh, good.
888-727 Beck. More of the Glenn Beck program coming up.
Glenn Beck program.
888-727 Beck.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck program.
We have a huge controversy going on right now in Texas with this Texas wrestler who won the state championship. Won the girls' state championship, late last week? Yeah, and
this
so
weekend, yeah.
The problem is drugs, and the kind of drugs this person was taking. We'll get into the story coming up here on the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Mercury.
This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Hey, it's Pat, Stu, Jeffy in for Glenn today. He's on his way back from Bangkok where he was helping out Operation Underground. It's incredible work. And we, of course, are doing some incredible work back here, too. Analyzing Chris Cuomo.
Right.
And his...
It's important work, I'll say that.
Insanity on this transgendered wrestling situation. We'll start there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
888-727 Beck. Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn today. We've had this situation where there is a girl who is transitioning to a boy. And she's 17 years old. She's a wrestler. And so she wanted to wrestle in the boys' division this year, right?
Correct.
Because she's making that switch.
Correct.
So she's going from girl to boy.
And the Texas rule is you compete in the gender
that's
that
on your birth certificate.
Born with, yes.
Especially, I guess, as long as you have that genitalia, which she does.
Yeah, I don't
she's
know. If you've actually gone through the full transition, I don't know if they even... I mean, again, this is... If you're talking about kids, this is a pretty new development. I don't know if they have a rule for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
either.
The rule is your gender, yes. The gender that you had when you were born.
So that's the rule in Texas because it's hateful. How can you possibly ask somebody to compete in the gender category they were born into? How can you ask that?
You can't, Pat. You can't.
You can't. Because what if you feel differently? Anyway, she does. And so, yes. But she was made to... She was put in the girls category for wrestling. So she just won the tournament last week.
Yeah, she won the championship.
She won the championship.
The one of the issues is that she is actually going through the transition and taking the prescribed medicine
testosterone
to make the change.
Yeah. So
and so it's working.
Right. And by the way, this ends any argument of all time as to whether men or women are better athletes. Because this whole thing of like the old Billie Jean King thing back in the day. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest about it. You take testosterone, you become better and stronger at sports.
Right.
Sorry.
Now that is science. That is science.
I'm so sorry.
And everybody knows
it. I guess we have
to
apologize for that.
Everybody knows it. I guess you can try to deny it and say that women are just as strong in every instance as men. It's just not the case.
No, I mean, they're better at... They're
built the same way we are. And that's a good thing. It was supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be different. And we are. And we are.
It's stunning. It's a stunning development that everyone knew at a level of 100% until very recently.
It's insane. And by the way, if a man were to take testosterone in Major League Baseball or the NFL.
I like how you're saying this is a crazy hypothetical.
I know.
if in some circumstance, somehow, athlete decided to take performance-enhancing drugs.
I don't remember who it was, but your testosterone level as a man is in a normal range, somewhere from 400 to 800, maybe up to 1,000, and that's fairly normal. I can't remember who the baseball player was. It might have been A-Rod. He had a testosterone level, and I shouldn't mention him because I don't remember who it was, but I remember their level was 4,000. So clearly they'd been...
That's a man.
No man takes or has that much natural testosterone. So clearly they've been taking testosterone, and so they were better at what they were doing than they otherwise would have been. So it works on men as well as girls transitioning to men. So obviously this girl's going to become stronger. She's going to be faster. She's going to be, you know, a better able to wrestle than she was as a girl with no testosterone.
Right. And the argument also from the other parents that were suing the school board is that, you know, hey, she is taking this medicine. That's just making her into a boy. We don't want her wrestling.
And in Texas, you can take you can compete if you've been prescribed the testosterone by a doctor.
Correct.
And she was.
There are several. There are three or four other things on that list that the Wrestling Association says is okay as long as it's prescribed. And that would not be okay if it was not prescribed.
And the reason for that, by the way, quickly, is that, you know, steroids are like standard treatment for a lot of illnesses. I mean,
yes.
You know, if you have, if you break out in a rash or if you have, if you're sick in any number of ways, one of the first responses is to give you a shot of steroids because it works. It
reduces swelling,
effective.
Aids in healing. It calms down infection. I mean, it does a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken steroids quite a bit because I've been sick lately, and it helps. They help.
A lot.
And so it kind of makes sense that there are certain circumstances under which, you know, because if you're taking anabolic steroids, that's one thing. But if you're taking steroids that a normal doctor would prescribe for an illness, that's a different deal.
Which is what they were pretty much covering when they made the rules
right
before this.
So anyway, Stu heard this interview on the way in by Chris Cuomo. And is it the lawyer representing the girls in the tournament?
This is Ben Ferguson, who's a talk show host. I think he's a CNN contributor. Right, and so he's there to take the evil right-wing side of this argument. Chris Cuomo, who purports, I guess, to be a journalist. I don't know that for a fact. But, I mean, it seems to be he wants to at least come off as even-handed, I guess, on the show.
He's not.
He's a straight-out activist on this one.
Yeah.
And the reason is because he is in the middle of his own little personal issue with the transgendered argument, which is last week, someone tweeted to him when talking about the transgendered issue, what do you tell a 12-year-old girl who doesn't want to see a man's unit in the locker room? So a 12-year-old girl is in the locker room, someone changing next to them, takes down their pants and has a guy junk, mm-hmm. right? He's got guy junk, okay? What do you tell that 12-year-old girl? His response was, I wonder if she is the problem or her overprotective and intolerant dad teach tolerance. That was his response. Now, look.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable to put that on the 12-year-old girl. A 12-year-old girl is not equipped to, even if this were the most logical thing in the world, is not equipped to make that determination. She's going to be interested in, you know, what she's interested in at that age. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, it's an era of discovery, right? And so that is not something that you would necessarily want. That's why they have separation. Because honestly, with this standard, why bother with two different bathrooms? Why bother with two different locker rooms for mm-hmm. any reason? Why bother? Why not just be tolerant of male genitalia all the time for 12-year-old girls? Why is it only when someone else outside of their decision-making process makes a decision they identify a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Someone else has done that. That doesn't affect the 12-year-old girl in this scenario. She hasn't made any judgment. Well, I identify that person as a female, therefore the junk that I'm looking at is not male. That's not her determination. It's someone else's determination. So that is, it's an absurd argument on its face. But he got so much heat for that tweet, blaming the 12-year-old girl and her intolerant dad for not being accepting of penises in the locker room, which is essentially what he said. You should be tolerant of the penis. That was the word they used. He got so much heat for that. He's now in, I've locked myself in the corner and I'm going to be defensive on this point no matter what, which it brings out the best in Chris Cuomo, because he's now so desperate to prove that this wasn't a mistake. He'll say anything.
Yeah. Listen to this.
What's your take on the tournament, my friend?
Well, first off, I think this, take the transgendered issue out of it for a second. If you are taking testosterone, which is a performance-enhancing drug in sports, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be able to wrestle.
Correct.
And this gave a completely unfair advantage to this participant. You can talk about that whether you are in your age group or in your sex group that you are associated with. If you're taking something that's performance-enhancing, you're not a real champion. You cheated and you won. Now, the state has, I do think, some blame for this by having it where they're even allowing these testosterones to be used if they are prescribed by a doctor. That's where I think the big fix probably needs to come.
Here,
the
stop for a second here.
Is that...
First of all, this is his first response. Take the emotion and the politics out of the transgendered issue for a second. Mm-hmm. And we'll just talk about how ridiculous it is that a girl who is taking heavy amounts of testosterone for a girl, right, would be able to compete at all. So taking out the transgendered issue, it's still wrong. So he's already won the argument at this point, right? But not with Chris Cuomo, who can't possibly accept this.
If there were acceptance, we wouldn't have had this issue, because this kid would be wrestling against boys.
But okay, just stop. So here's this argument. So Chris, now he falls back to
acceptance.
This. I don't know what level we're going to fall back to on this. It's going to be hard to keep track of. But he falls back to, if there was, if we taught acceptance, this wouldn't be an issue because she would be able to wrestle the boys like she wants to.
Okay? And in that eventuality, we wouldn't be talking about the story at all, because she would have lost in the first round and it'd be over.
Right. That's
be
true.
Over.
However.
Over.
However, we still would be talking about the issue. Why? Because in a liberal state, let's say California, there would be it would go the opposite way. You would have a boy who was transforming to be a girl and wanted to identify as a girl, mm-hmm. and then went into the girls' division and destroyed all the girls. Mm-hmm. So the issue would still exist. It would just be in a liberal state and the opposite way.
Yep.
So he's completely wrong there to say the issue goes away if we quote-unquote teach acceptance. The issue still exists. It's just on the opposite side.
Well, you know, and for those as you're learning about
this. But even
then,
though, here's...
Let me just
sure,
so people
then,
know.
Though, here's the thing.
But hold on, Ben.
Sure.
Let's just clarify one thing. The science. You have to be very careful about.
This
okay?
is argument two.
The amount of hormone
science, no.
that this kid is given is the minimum standard they can give to replicate the output of a boy.
Okay, stop. There's so much there.
Oh, my gosh.
First of all.
Does he know the amount she's being given?
Yes, so that was one of his big arguments in this. I assume he knows it because he kept saying, you have to look it up, you have to look it up. So again, that's a bad assumption on my part.
Look it up, Jeff. You see how much testosterone.
However, it is not the minimum amount that a girl would have. Right, it's actually
Correct.
Way more than a girl would have, which
way
is what
more.
Makes the transition
yes, it's
happen.
It's a minimum amount for a boy.
For a boy. Now, let's just say that that's
so
true.
So even if his argument is true, it's still cheating.
It still would be cheating as the girl. So his point is, well, then they should allow him to wrestle with the boys, right? Because mm-hmm. she identifies as a man. So we should think that she's a man. We should allow her to wrestle with the boys because she's not getting. His point there is she's not getting so much more testosterone than the boy would normally have. So she's not a superhuman boy. She's just a boy, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, his wording is interesting there. The amount to replicate a boy. If she's a boy, you do not need to replicate the boy. If you're replicating something, you're replicating it because it's not actually happening. Therefore, your whole mm-hmm. scientific argument is flawed. The thing that you're saying you want to happen isn't happening.
Yeah.
She is not a boy. So if she was a boy, you would not need to replicate it.
Yeah. If you're going to talk about science, what is she scientifically? She's a girl.
She's a girl.
Okay. She's had no surgery. There's nothing been changed on her body. She's a girl.
Right.
So if you want to talk science, she's a girl. And then it's unfair for the girl to be getting testosterone when the other girls aren't getting it.
Right. Exactly. Now, his point seems to be what he wants to happen is she wrestles against the boys and loses because she is getting only the appropriate level for a boy of testosterone. Again, it's a ridiculous argument in and of itself. But if you're going to entertain it, the point is getting performance-enhancing drugs. It's not to say that you let everyone come to the same level of testosterone. The point is you don't get additional testosterone as to what you have naturally. Mm-hmm. That's the point of the rule.
Yes.
It's enhancing. Whether you think it's enhancing it only to equal, it's not the point. The point is you don't enhance it to what you have naturally.
Uh-huh.
She has very little naturally, and they're enhancing it to get a higher level.
And all we're talking about here is...
What level?
The level of the other competitors is what we should be talking about,
yes.
not the level of the boys.
Right.
Because is it unfair for her to have beaten all these girls... whose level of testosterone is incredibly low
yes.
in comparison to her now mm-hmm. because she's getting artificial testosterone.
So it's not like a super amount of testosterone. It's not like these kids are going to be superhuman. It is the opposite. They are given
no, it's not the
minimum.
The opposite.
Scientifically, that is the outcome. If you look and do the research as I have, you'll see that. But that's not really the issue. The issue is...
What a condescending ass.
Yes. Just, and this is him in full... Remember, this is a guy who is in full standing in the Douche Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And this is him showing off why he's there.
Exactly.
And by the way, on Pat and Stu today, a vote on Chris Cuomo as the grand nozzle after this interview. Because he deserves it from Harry Reid.
If this state allowed this kid to wrestle against boys, which is what he wants... we wouldn't be talking about this case right now.
Right, this case. You'd be talking about a different case in a different state that went the opposite way.
Yeah.
The issue would not go away at all based on that. You would just be arguing the opposite side of it.
True.
But you also have to look at there has to be a standard. And I think it's not insane or crazy for a state to say that you compete with a sex that's on your birth certificate. That is what I would refer to as logical. It is illogical to somehow imply that this kid is a victim because he decided to do something and to change something, and therefore you change the entire sport around it. That is the part that I think many people are sitting here saying, hey, if you want to compete in a sport period, then you cannot be taking performance-enhancing drugs and do it. But to say that we should change the entire way that sports is done because of one person and their decision to do something, that is unrealistic.
But the premise is flawed because the logic requires you to believe
we gotta come back. We're not going to have time to get it.
That's why we're having a discussion. That transgender doesn't count. But it does count, and that's why we're having this bigger debate about what you allow trans kids to have access to and what you don't.
He goes on to say that she identifies as a girl.
Yeah, we got to come back and play some of that. Because that part is amazing as well.
Unbelievable.
His scientific argument is that she identifies. Well,
That's not science.
That's not
science. Now you're talking feelings.
As you said, they're replicating it. She's identifying.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're laying it out subconsciously. You're saying the truth. You can't help yourself. You can't help yourself. You keep saying the truth.
I can identify as a gerbil if I want to, but I'm not. I'm not one.
Right.
And I won't fit into the little thing with the wheel that goes or spins around and around.
And any other circumstance, this argument would be completely bizarre. We should come back to it because we don't have time to get into it.
888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck Program coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat, Stu, and Jeffy, Glenn's on his way back from Thailand. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Spencer in Florida. Spencer, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey. I just want to touch on the transgendered wrestler deal.
Yeah.
This doesn't have as much to do with the performance-enhancing stuff, but I wrestled in high school for 4 years, and the rule has always been in high school is you wrestle by weight class. It doesn't matter what gender you are or what gender you pick or anything. Mm-hmm. That's just your weight class.
Wait, so if you're at 140 pounds... You'll compete against girls and boys at 140 pounds?
Correct.
Wow.
I see. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that, too.
And the thing I like...
Go ahead.
Because I think we should do that with all sports. In fact, get rid of all women's sports. We'll just call it basketball, and then whoever makes the team makes the team.
They will not like that.
Why not? I don't understand why they wouldn't.
Because you won't have any girls on the basketball team.
No, you won't. In fact, you might have some gymnasts...
Yeah, you'd have some gymnasts.
There'd be some sports in which you would have girls, but most likely you would not have many that would make these teams.
Probably won't have anybody on the soccer team. Yeah, probably won't have anybody on track. It's just we're different.
It's okay that we're different.
It's in fact, it's fantastic that we're different.
Thank God, because we're terrible. Yeah. I'm glad there's something different. And look, this is not to say.
What, do you want to marry Jeffy? I don't.
No.
I don't.
No. I mean, Amber doesn't even.
No.
She's out.
That's right.
Look, we can do things to accommodate when people have issues, and that's all fine. But you can't overturn. I mean, basically, you overturned every other female wrestler in Texas. Their chance to win a state title because you're trying to accommodate this one person who's taking performance-enhancing drugs.
It's like we said last week. The only feelings that matter are the transgendered feelings. Nobody else does. Nobody else. It's a strange place we find ourselves in.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Good morning, everybody. Traffic and weather together, coming up every 9 minutes on the fours.
Good morning.
Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. As he travels back from Thailand, I'm sure we'll hear a lot about that trip tomorrow. 888-727-BECK. We've been talking about this transgendered wrestler in Texas. It's a pretty big story. A girl who's trying to become a boy and is taking testosterone to make that happen. So she's in the transitioning period. But they wouldn't let her wrestle as a boy in Texas because you must wrestle as... What's on your birth certificate.
Right.
So she wrestled as a girl, but she's been taking testosterone, which gives her, a lot of people feel, an unfair advantage against the rest of the girls, and she won the state championship.
And this has been going on for quite a while now, although it came to light because of the semifinals and the other players forfeiting and not wrestling against him. Mm-hmm. And my favorite quote was from her grandmother, who is the guardian, that said after she won the semifinals with the forfeits, mm-hmm. Today was not about their students winning. Today was about bias, hatred, and ignorance.
So no, grandma's it's about a girl taking testosterone when these girls are not. It's just an unfair advantage. You can say whatever you want, and Chris Cuomo's talking science, and then he's talking feelings. Which is it? Do you want to talk science? Because the science is the testosterone helps her perform better. Period. It's just a fact, and it's why it's banned in the NFL and the MLB and probably the soccer leagues, which I don't care because they're communist. that's why performance-enhancing drugs are banned in these leagues. It's why you can't take them in college. It's why you can't take them in high school. So, but she can because... In high school sports in Texas, if it's prescribed by a doctor, and it is because she's making the transition. So it's a really weird and difficult circumstance. And I feel for the other girls. I feel for the transgender girl or boy. I don't know what the answer is. Right, and when we're in such a weird place right now.
And when you are involved, and if your life has something in it that is a major part of it, that is such a minor percentage of the population, such an issue that is difficult for society to deal with because of the fact that you're asking for concessions that change what everyone else is doing, right? Mm-hmm. So like you're saying, well, I want to take testosterone and still wrestle. It's difficult for wrestling to deal with that problem, mm-hmm. right? And it's always on the league. It's always on us to make these concessions. It's always our fault. It's always our responsibility. It's never the person. Like, we talk about this, I mean, even more when it comes to adults and the bathroom issue. Right. It's like the transgender bathroom standards. Well, these are the transgendered bathroom standards that have existed throughout our history, including 7.5 years of the Obama administration. The act, as if what they've recalled from this debate is so dramatic to the world that we're going to all protest it is crazy. I mean, look, they existed for 6 months. And what the standard said was, hey, schools, we think you should let people who believe they're transgendered go to the bathroom that they identify with. And if you don't do that, we may withhold some federal funding. Now, no, they didn't withhold any federal funding. It didn't actually happen. There was never an instance in which they withheld federal funding over this issue, unless, it's possible I've missed one in all the localities in America, but at least that's what I read. So that being said, you have 6 months of a standard of a different threat that did not come to fruition. And now that standard has been reversed to the standard it had been through 7.5 years of Barack Obama, we're all supposed to act like it's the worst thing in the world.
Yes.
And it's, you look at this from an adult perspective, a man who is transgendered wants to go to the women's bathroom. There's never a standard of concession for the transgendered person. At no point do they have to say, look, I know I'm the one who is a little bit out, a little bit different. And so therefore I will make the concession as an adult. Understanding that in society, I might be the one different.
Never. It's never them.
And specifically in the bathroom, we talk about this. If you're a man and you're transitioning to a woman, and the establishment you're in says, we would like you to go to the men's room. You're still going to go into a stall and have some level of privacy. It's going to be the same as many, as we talked about, fancy restaurants where they combine the sink area and have everyone... Mm-hmm. Go into a stall or a small room, which is uncomfortable because guys are gross and women shouldn't want to be around guys. But that's a whole other issue. It's just amazing to see this. I'll give you an example from my life. And again, this is totally, we understand. You're comparing this. I get it. That's the lowest form of discourse to say I'm comparing this. I'm not comparing it. But I'm a vegetarian. Okay. I go to...
Are you comparing vegetarianism to transgender?
That is exactly what I'm doing.
Oh my gosh.
I know it's so controversial.
The hate.
But dare you.
The exclusion. Oh man.
What I have in my life, I decide not to eat meat. Now, I understand that I am in the minority in that position. Uh-huh. I go to meetings, barbecues, all sorts of things all the time.
And you make complain.
And I don't say.
Force vegetables on us.
No. I make concessions because I realize.
Vegetarianism.
Oh.
Preaches it.
It's never ending.
I shouldn't be eating that meat.
I realize that I make concessions.
You really do.
Because
you are maybe the best vegetarian on the planet.
That's a low standard. That is a crappy standard.
But that's probably a fact.
Now, look, I understand that the argument would be, well, they are born that way, which, again, you can't make that argument with transgender because you're taking testosterone because you weren't born that way, right?
Now you're talking science, but we're talking feelings.
No, but
and you're pissing me off.
As Chris said, to replicate.
Thank you.
What a boy has. As Ellen DeGeneres said the other day, transgendered, she described it as, if I believe I'm quoting, which was, it's when you feel in your head as if you're the other gender.
Right.
So that is, again.
And that was in the womb.
Right.
Right.
That was in the womb.
But again, it's a feeling that you're the other gender, right? So again, you're admitting that you're not born that way. But okay, that's fine. If you want to say that that's really who they are in their heart or whatever. The point is that when you're in that position, when you are in the ultra minority, you typically make concessions. It's just common courtesy to make concessions for the majority. Now, you might say that from a government perspective, everyone should be treated equally. Of course you should. And as human beings, as I know I would be, I would go as far as I could to accommodate someone who felt that way. For example, and I've offered this as a constitutional amendment. That's the process I believe should happen. A constitutional amendment that guarantees one man, one bathroom. One woman, one bathroom. One anything, one bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in 2017. Why are we peeing in a trough next to other dudes? That's my constitutional amendment. That language can be in there.
It's a good one.
Are there troughs left anywhere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's troughs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's troughs. You don't go to sporting events.
I haven't seen troughs.
Oh, they've got them. But beyond that. Troughs. You've got the urinals with no dividers.
Urinals with, or very, very weak dividers.
Yeah, that's still some sort of divider.
I don't care. I don't like them.
Jeffy likes going into bathrooms.
Oh, he doesn't care.
He's weird.
He doesn't care.
But I mean, the point is, one man, one bathroom. If we could just
pee in the middle of the floor, there doesn't even have to be a toilet in front of him. He doesn't care.
All bathroom issues are solved if we just are all in private bathrooms.
It's true.
It would cost a little money. But I mean, not compared to every freaking policy proposal from both left and right these days.
Yeah. This is kind of like 5,000 people have decided that they want to go to Chick-fil-A. 5,000 people say, we all want to go to Chick-fil-A. And you got that one person who says, I want to go to Wendy's. And so everybody has to go to Wendy's.
Because that one person.
Because the one person said it. I mean, in what aspect of life do we act that way? Do we behave that way? I know.
Now you've compared going to a fast food restaurant to transgender.
No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that the majority, the vast majority, is at the behest now of an incredible minority of 0.7% of the population. It's amazing to me.
And it's
amazing.
They make it seem as if, first of all, as Chris Cuomo goes on to say, well, what if she identifies?
We should play some.
Okay, let's play some.
The bathrooms, the locker rooms, it's all related. And people who share your idea are using misinformation and mythology here.
Mythology.
The idea of
Stop it. Mythology. He is saying that a girl with a vagina is a boy and we're guilty of mythology.
Yeah.
Think about what that moment is. I mean,
it's amazing.
I understand that we should all try to do what we can to accommodate people's things in life. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But to call someone who believes a person with a vagina is a girl mythology. I mean, that is absolutely 2 + 2 = 5. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Yep.
It is because the idea that they're going to have genitals waved in their face. My 12-year-old daughter, she's going to have genitals waved in her face. That's what you on the left want. You realize that that's an absurd notion, right?
Well, one, I'm on the right. And second of all, that is not the notion that the people on the right have been saying, that you're going to have genitals thrown in your face in a locker room. What we're saying is, it is not abnormal or crazy or unlogical to say that if you are born a boy, that you use the boy's restroom/locker room.
But what if you identify as a girl?
You are going
tough.
Well,
Okay, so again, the identify thing. He's gone from science to what if they identify? If they identify, tough.
If someone identifies as something else, you do what you can to accommodate them, I guess.
Okay, but that's not okay for them.
No, it is not. We've had numerous cases across the country in high schools.
Where they've been accommodating.
They've said, okay, well, fine, you can use this bathroom,
right,
and that will be yours.
And they're like, no. I want to use the men's room. Or I want to use the women's room.
Why can't I just use specifically those bathrooms? Well, we're giving you one off to the side here. No, that's not good.
There's no compromise here. It's either their way or the highway.
Right. And no compromise. What other area of life is that standard acceptable?
I don't know.
To be honest,
it's not.
If you say, again, like, here's two things that you absolutely can be. You could be a cab driver and an accountant. People, absolutely, there's been a million accountants that have been cab drivers in their life. They've gone through the process and converted from cab driver to accountant. However, a person driving a cab for a living doesn't get to say he identifies as an accountant. That is because it hasn't happened, mm-hmm, right? In every other area of life, that is an argument that makes no sense, right?
You can't identify as an airline pilot.
No.
You got to do the work to become an airline pilot.
Exactly. Leonardo DiCaprio learned that lesson well in the documentary Catch Me If You Can.
Sure did.
You have to go through these processes. Now, like we said this many, many times, this is a very small issue when it comes down to percentages and how many instances. Because you're right. What was it? You said 0.7% of that population. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that stat, but I'm sure that's right. So 0.7% of the population is transgendered. A lot of people who are going through that process because they don't want hassles and they're like, I don't want to deal with it. I've had many trans people in my Twitter feed say, look, I'm trans and I don't want to deal with these issues. You guys are right. We've seen that not even everyone who it goes through this process
wants
to deal with these
issues. Usual.
And then even in those instances, because we've talked about this before at sporting events, women who don't want to deal with the long lines will just walk into the men's room and go. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens in those situations? Largely nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? People are like, oh, they'll roll their eyes at the girl who's going to the guy's room. And someone makes a joke and then they leave and everything's normal. It's not even those. We're talking a small percentage of those instances. But in those small instances, you have to have a legal standard to be able to enforce. So the legal standard, and we've said this many times, is not about the trans. It's not about Caitlyn Jenner walking into the women's restroom.
It's about some pervert.
It's about some
who's
guy
heterosexual.
Who's heterosexual, who goes into the wrong restroom, knowing he has a legal defense for when he's caught, if he's caught, leering at women. He can go in there and say, well, you know what, I felt like a man or a woman, and he will have a legal defense. It's not even about trying to accommodate people because you want to do that. I mean, honestly, if a transgendered woman came into the men's bathroom and went pee near me, most likely I wouldn't do anything. If my kid was there, maybe I would leave with my child, but I'm not going to. I probably would. Honestly, I'm too lazy. I'm not going to go report it. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm just going to walk out when I'm done. I peed next to women who were fully women, and I've lived.
Right.
You know, there are standards, however, especially with a man going into a women's room where there might be children, there is an issue there.
Yeah.
And if someone does do this, someone tries to take advantage of the transgendered movement, there has to be a legal standard there to punish them.
I don't see how the left can't get this. I don't understand how the Chris Cuomos of the world can't understand that concept. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck program coming up.
You're listening.
You're listening.
To the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Personally, I blame Shania Twain. Isn't she the one that started this I feel like a woman thing?
Well, she was a woman.
In 1997, she started it. Yeah, but I feel like a woman. No, you are a woman.
Yeah.
You are a woman. There's no feeling there.
So you think you're
blaming. And then I think she got that thought process started in a lot of men's heads.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Jeffy, what we were talking about in the break, if Jeffy identified as thin,
he would not be. In fact, thin.
Yeah. He would still be.
Even if I identified?
You would still be...
Still fat.
Overweight.
Yeah.
So, incredible.
Or fat. You know, incredible.
Or fat.
Fat.
The Glenn. Glenn Beck program. Mercury.
This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn today as he heads back from Thailand. Jeffy and Glenn go to Thailand for very different reasons. We won't necessarily get into those.
Technically, you know, Glenn goes to stop the thing that Jeffy goes for.
Right, exactly. We have an update on Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, good.
The white woman who identifies as a black woman, and we know identifying is everything, right? Mm-hmm. Identifying means everything. We'll start there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat, Stu, and Jeffy, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Is there some sad news for Rachel Dolezal? This seems unfortunate.
Oh, no.
She is the, you might remember, I think the Spokane NAACP chapter. She was the head of that. And she was ahead of it for some time. And then it was discovered somehow. I guess somebody finally looked at her and said, wait a minute. You're not black. She's like, sure, I am. Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm way black. And it turns out, no, she has white parents. She herself is white. But she identified more as a black person, right? And now,
yes.
I guess she's having a hard time getting a job.
Yeah, jobless on food stamps and expects soon to be homeless. It is unclear why she just does not identify to have a home or identify to have a job.
When she's just identified as a CEO, she'd be making big money.
Big money.
I don't know why she hasn't thought of that, but she still says she's not white. I thought that was interesting. She says, I do think a more complex label would be helpful, but we don't really have that vocabulary. Yeah, we don't have a word for what you have. That's true. And again, this is on us. We have not developed the vocabulary to describe the thing she is. Which, by the way, we have developed that vocabulary. It was white. Mm-hmm. We nailed it. She says she's
more comfortable in a different light.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. She says, I feel, love that word, I feel like the idea of being trans black would be much more accurate than I'm white because, you know, I'm not white. Trans calling black. Myself black feels more accurate than saying I'm white. So
she's
it
just
feels.
Her book.
What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. She's just hawking her book. This is such a big deal.
What do you
her
mean?
Her experiences in her memoir in full color. So she just wants us to buy her book. That's.
I've got absolutely no interest in her book.
I have zero interest in that. But it talks about her views on racial identity and her experiences in her memoir.
I'm more comfortable identifying.
Sorry, I was listening to her being with food stamps and being back in the news again. And she's back in the news again because she wants us to buy her book.
Well, she apparently needs it, right?
If she's on food stamps and not able to get a job, this is it.
I love this. If Dolezal was exposed in 2015, exposed as what? She's white. She was exposed in 2015 when a local television crew asked her a simple question, are you African American? It must have been an interesting moment to go up and have to ask that question. But of course, all the pictures of her being white and blonde from her youth came out and that kind of blew up her little gig at the NAACP, apparently.
Sure did.
Which is kind of interesting. I mean, I it's weird in that this is a natural extension of what we just talked about Chris Cuomo. Why would this be wrong? Because you can do all this. You could take medications and, I mean, we've talked about, you know, the old thing with Michael Jackson, which wasn't true, but that he wanted to bleach his skin white because he wanted to be white so bad, right? You can do things to change your outer appearance, but you don't even need to, really. I mean, she just, you know, she, I guess, took on some of the attributes of what she thought she was. But it was a lot different than her blonde-haired youth. But you can say that Chris Cuomo was on TV. If you missed it last hour, you have to hear this interview. On TV, on national television, saying that a girl with girl parts who identified as a boy, calling her a girl is mythology. Mythology. Now, here's a situation. Like, I can understand we all want to accommodate people and try to do the best to be nice. We all get that. However, to insult every piece of knowledge we've ever had in human history in that part A equals gender A, to say that those things are true, but we're talking before the surgery or anything else has happened, that's mythology now. Why wouldn't Rachel Dolezal's story connect? I don't think there's any reason why she isn't treated as respectfully as every single transgendered person that Chris Cuomo is backing here. Why doesn't she get that same treatment? Why is she without a job? Why is she without a home, potentially?
Because she's white. I guess, just because she's white, right? If she were...
But it's only a matter of time, right? Yeah. It's only because she's the first one. And because she's the first... Again, in our sphere of awareness, right? She's the first story of a person saying, I'm actually black, but I'm white. Now, there's been the guy who works at the Daily News says the same thing. What's his name? Sean King? Says the same thing. Uh-huh. There's been now a few of them, but she's one of the first ones that entered into our awareness. And because of that, people are willing to say, come on, look, I want to accommodate people, but she's obviously white. She's obviously white. And she was trying to say that she was black when she's not. That's okay to say today. Guess what? Soon it won't be. Soon it won't be. Soon, the same way, you will have people on national television, like Chris Cuomo, saying it's mythology to call her white. That will happen. The only issue, the only questionable aspect of that is whether Chris Cuomo will remain on television. That's the only questionable aspect of that. He very well might not have that gig at some point. But other than that, that will happen. That discussion will occur. I mean, it has occurred with certain personalities already, and it will continue to happen, and it will become the thing you're not allowed to say, that Rachel Dolezal is white. And, I mean, look, we are not at a point, any of us, that are like, oh, well, I can't, you know, I don't want to understand, to accommodate, to do whatever you can. But it's like we have to at some point have a truth that we can center on. Some foundation of just accuracy. She says she thinks it feels more accurate to say she's black, but she's not. Do these things need to be said?
I mean, it might feel more accurate to say that I'm 18 years old because that's how I feel in my head.
Right. I'm young at heart.
It's just not the case because I'm now in my mid-50s. So, yeah. Yeah, as if. I mean, the mid-50s are so far in your rear view mirror.
I remember when I broke that mid-50 mark.
Yeah.
How can you? Oh, it was such a long time ago.
Such a long time ago.
But I mean, and that will happen. I mean, we are there.
Yeah.
This stuff's already occurring, and to the point of not like, you know, this is an interesting discussion. Like, if you had this point, you know, like, this is an interesting discussion. She identifies with many of the cultural things of being black, or she identifies as many of the, you know, she feels like she wants to do boy things that are typically associated with boys. She called herself a tomboy. This is an interesting thing that we're talking about. How does society deal with it? It's not that. It's you're a hate monger and you're dealing with mythology if you think the gender that she was born with is the gender she has.
That's nuts.
I mean, that's so far beyond. That's not a discussion. It's
really
a shutdown
nuts.
Of a discussion.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And nobody, going back to the way I feel in my head, because I tell my kids that all the time. I feel like I'm 18 still. In my head, that's kind of where I stopped, I think, was 18. Mm-hmm. So I identify as such. But so if I acted as if I were 18 all the time, nobody would accept that. Well, I'm just 18. I identify as 18. What do you mean? Why should I be more responsible than that? What are you talking about? You can't hold me to the standards of a 55-year-old man with six grandkids. You can't do that. I identify as an 18-year-old. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody would back me on that. None of these Democrats who are bending over backward for every other minority on this planet would say that's okay.
Well, there was the CEO, the guy that was said he was a millennial, right? That was in his 50s? Not very long ago?
Yeah.
Not very long ago that they were all up in arms about.
And he kept saying he was 34 or something, 35, and he was 55.
And they were all up in arms about it. How dare he?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that's different than me. Who actually is a millennial. I do not identify.
According to one source who said a 41-year-old person.
Yes, 1976 was a cutoff date. And I was born in February 1976, which makes me one of the first millennials.
Because don't most people
say 80?
So I
know it better than everybody else.
80 is a cutoff date for most?
You know what? I don't know what most people. This is not about most people. It's how I identify, Pat.
Okay.
And I identify.
And you want to be a millennial. Because, man, I would do everything I can to not identify with the millennials.
No kidding. But technically, by one source, I am. However, no sources say a 55-year-old is a millennial. No sources say a white person is a black person. And, you know, I guess now a lot of sources do say. You know, Chris Cuomo goes on in this interview that we played last hour to say, well, the Department of Education says that if you identify as a girl, you're a girl, or if you identify as a boy, as a boy.
Yeah, under Barack Obama, they said that.
And also,
so what?
Is the Department of Education,
is it a scientific department now? No, it's a political department.
Mm-hmm.
So politically, you know, that is now accepted, I guess, in some circles. But that's not science. I love how they want to have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
They're science. They're all science until science doesn't agree with them. Then there's nothing to do with science. It's just a feeling. It's just a thought. It's just an attitude.
Yeah, don't pay attention to that.
The same way on climate change. I mean, they have it both ways on every single issue. That'd be pretty sweet if we had it both ways on every issue.
It's an exciting way to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be fun, right? I'm sure it would be fun to be a liberal for a while, wouldn't it? Where you could just sit back and you never have to worry about past statements. You never have to worry about what you said that disagrees completely with what you're saying right now. You just need to say what benefits you at that exact moment. That is what we saw throughout the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever benefited him at that exact moment was the thing he supported. And that it's got to be nice.
It's a good standard.
I mean, to just be able to forget your history.
Yeah.
And forget what you've said in the past. It's got to be a nice thing to live under.
You have to have the media on your side. To
back you up.
To back you up and let you get away with that standard. But it's a nice standard if you can have it. 888-727 Beck. More of the Glenn Beck Program coming up.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Welcome. 888-727 Beck. 888-727-BECK. Speaking of these progressives, these liberals, Hillary had this interesting... this video statement that came out over the weekend, and it's agonizing. It's agonizing. She's apparently trying to fire up the base to continue these protests against Trump.
And it's agonizing because she's so upbeat and on fire and gets everybody motivated.
Yeah, you lost, Pumpkin. You lost. All right? You're not the president.
There's been an endless amount of reports that have come out since the election that say why Trump won. And many of them are very interesting and part of the picture.
Oh, but you're going to find out why Trump won.
This is why Trump won.
Yeah, listen to this.
Now, as Democrats, we have diverse views and backgrounds.
Sure.
We are Democrats, after all.
Oh, that just the delivery of that line is what she was.
Just that.
We are Democrats, after all. I mean, I
like they're a superior race of beings or something. Yeah, you're Democrats, after all. Have you ever checked into Democrats?
I know Democrat history.
Why don't you look into the history of the Democrat Party?
The diversity is not exactly prominent.
And not at all. And this is fairly recent history where there's even a perception that Democrats are diverse, because they never have been. Not in the entire history of the Democrat Party. They've done nothing but try to exterminate minorities, starting with the Indians, the American Indians, Native Americans, whatever you want to call them. the African Americans. They wanted to keep them in slavery. They did everything they possibly could, which led to the secession of the South and the Civil War and 600,000 dead Americans. Jim Crow laws, Democrats responsible for that.
And by the way, Democrats and just big government in general. This is a point we bring up all the time, but it's like, you know, a small government isn't capable of implementing policy like that. If your government should be small enough that it can't do those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the standard of whether you're diverse enough in society right at this moment seems to be illegal immigration. Not that you want legal immigrants to come, because that's not enough. You want to have to accept illegal immigrants in the country. And by that standard, even that is pretty recent for Democrats. Look at Harry Reid, not all that long ago, talking about his opinion on the border.
Yeah.
Because he was protecting unions Hardcore and union jobs, they were very strong on the border in those days.
Yeah.
But now even that one's gone.
But the Democrats all through, and then you get to Woodrow Wilson in the 1900s, early 1900s, and she considers herself an early 20th century progressive. He resegregated the military. He screened Birth of a Nation at the White House. Brought back the KKK. He was a terrible. He interned Japanese Americans. You go to FDR, who did the same thing. Actually, Woodrow Wilson, with him, it was German Americans. Mm-hmm. With FDR, it was Japanese Americans. They opposed civil rights, the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. It was Republicans who made that happen.
Mm-hmm. Lyndon Johnson, an absolute racist.
It's hard to believe.
But we're bound together by the values and hopes we share for our country.
Sure.
I'm grateful for all your support and hard work during the election. Being your candidate was the honor of a lifetime.
God, this is terrible.
And I was inspired to see women and men from all walks of life and every corner of our country coming together on behalf of our shared values. And while we didn't get the outcome we worked so hard for, I'll always be proud of the campaign we ran.
The one where she lost to a reality show host? Is that the campaign she's proud of?
She should not be proud of that. No,
she shouldn't.
A campaign that was better and stronger thanks to each of you.
Mm-hmm.
After the primaries, we came together as a party to write the most progressive platform in history.
There is a good reason why you lost.
There is another reason why you lost. We don't want your progressivism. We don't want it. Progressivism and Marxism are the same thing.
And enough Democrats and independents said they didn't want that. You know, I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
All of these reasons are why she is not in the White House today, thank heaven.
Ideas we championed are now inspiring leaders and activists across our country.
Uh-huh.
Nearly 66 million votes are fueling grassroots energy and activism. And everywhere, people are marching, protesting, tweeting, speaking out, and working for an America that's hopeful, inclusive, and big-hearted.
Oh, my gosh. That is just such nonsense. And the delivery on this stuff, again, a nice reminder of why she is not the president of the United States, but she is trying to fire up that base to keep protesting, to keep showing up on these street corners and yelling about Donald Trump, who they act like has committed war crimes and atrocities already. Give him a chance to even do something. That might be nice. Give him half a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Glenn Beck Program.
It's Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn, who's traveling back from Thailand. It takes like a week and a half to get back or something. Apparently, it's a long ways away. Is that true?
By plane,
yeah.
It takes a long time to get back. I mean, you said earlier, if you were taking a ship, it would take how long?
17 years.
You're right.
Yeah.
If you missed last week's show, he's over there because he's working with the charity Our Rescue that works to stop sex slavery. And obviously, that's a hotbed over in those parts.
Maybe the worst of the world.
Yeah. And they, so they talked to us about, we were going to do shows over there for a whole week initially was the initial plan, covering this and obviously, you know, raising money for the charity. It's a really important issue. And, you know, it is actually true. There are more slaves on the planet today than were throughout the entire, what we think of as slavery in America.
Think of that.
30 to 45 million today.
Wow.
And back in the, you know, slave trade, the Atlantic slave trade.
It was like
the transatlantic slave trade, it was 15 million.
Yeah, 12. I think it was 12 to 15. There's a few different numbers on
well,
this.
Well, 3 million died in transit.
Right.
So 2.5 or 3 million.
And that was from the 1500s until slavery ended here. From the 1500s. So we're talking multiple hundreds of years.
It's unbelievable.
So it's a huge issue and really important. Yeah. We were going to go, however. First of all, we got the description of what it's like to go in these areas. The words, no thank you. Yeah. Came to mind. Also,
definitely.
But before that, even the trip. I was looking up just on orbits. So you could just from Dallas to Bangkok. What's that flight like? It's 14 hours. 14 hours to Tokyo,
then,
in which you then deplane and have a layover for an hour, and then another 7 hours to Bangkok.
That doesn't seem like it should be a seven-hour flight.
Holy crap. That's what it was on this particular... it was, and that was the one that was the shortest. I just picked
in my mind, that's a 45-minute flight.
It's not.
I perceive it
identify as a seven-hour flight.
As a 45-minute flight. So it like should be.
It is.
That's tough, man.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Tough.
Yeah, so that's why he's not here today.
I'm glad he's doing it. Somebody has definitely. To do it. I'm glad we're not doing it.
Exactly. Now, you've stumbled onto a story about how hateful one Central American country is.
Yeah, Guatemala.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it Guatemala?
It is Guatemala. Guatemala has detained a ship off its coast.
And here's why they had to do this. They've launched a war on women in Guatemala.
They have.
The likes of which we've rarely seen.
Yes, and that's why there's a new organization out there to stop this war on women.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Women on Waves.
Women on Waves.
Now, you might think, is this a surfing club? No, it is not.
No.
Women on Waves is not
something,
a surfing club.
Something much, much, much more important.
Much more important. They are doing the service to women across the world who find themselves in this sort of hateful Guatemalan situation where they will take women from the country... And
take them out
boats,
on the waves.
And on the waves, and they will wait. Think of the waves as an interesting part of this. They will take them on the waves, up and down, back and forth, rough seas, out into international waters, where they will give them the abortions they so need.
And so desperately deserve.
Now...
That doesn't seem safe to me.
It seems like the last place on earth I'd want to have an abortion would be...
abortion on some rickety ship. That seems worse than that back alley thing we always hear about.
It really does.
Doesn't it?
Now, this is the reason why it's news now, and it's, you know, it's the most... I guess they're gonna do this...
Well, exactly! That's why abortion should be safe, legal, and safe and legal. That's all it is now. Forget the rare part. But that's why
rare.
You need to have safe and legal so they can do it on land. That's what we'll hear.
Yes, we will.
Because now you had to have women on waves so you could have the abortions you need.
Now, they're saying that, I guess they do this around the world in countries where abortion is banned.
They go out on the high seas into international waters and have abortions.
Now, they're targeting countries now with Zika problems because that leads to birth defects. So it's obviously the most understandable case to a lot of people when you're talking about there could be birth defects here. So they will do it here. The most sympathetic case, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing. And I guess Guatemala actually detained the boat late last week.
Can they do that in international water?
Maybe they drifted.
Wow.
That's always the issue. There was always that radio station off the coast of Great Britain back in the day.
Yeah, pirate radio station.
Yeah, that would stay off in international waters and then blast a signal back into the UK.
There was one of those, and I don't know if it was this one that was like 5 million watts.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. You're going to be heard. You're going to be heard in a few places.
But one day they drifted back into the waters, UK waters, and then they're screwed.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then you just get
then
arrested and you lose all your whole business.
Yeah.
So you really have to make sure.
So Guatemala was so set on taking away a woman's reproductive rights that they had to go out on the high seas.
Out on the high seas. And you know what? How long until we have that here? We're seeing what happened in Texas.
Holy cow. In Texas, a judge stopped the state from defunding Planned Parenthood. Thank goodness.
So there's a court decision.
Yes.
Saying that we have to fund a private organization.
Because we have a great governor and a lieutenant governor right now. And so they got it passed through the legislature that we weren't going to fund Planned Parenthood anymore. Because it's an abortion bill, and we all know it.
Mm-hmm. Only 3% of the things we do are abortions, mostly.
Not
we're all
true.
About women's health issues.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're about aborting babies. And everybody knows it. And so they didn't want to fund that anymore. And so they voted to defund Planned Parenthood. A judge stopped it and said, you can't stop defunding Planned Parenthood. How can a judge force the state to fund a private organization?
That is absolutely unbelievable.
I don't even understand how that's possible.
I mean, I think you could argue that the state shouldn't be funding private organizations at all.
Yes.
Say that they must specifically fund a particular private organization is very strange. Now, they always bring up the women's health
part screenings.
Health screenings.
Mammograms.
If you don't know
which they don't give, by the way,
right?
They can tell you where to get them.
And by the way, they're
unlike the Yellow Pages.
There's audio, and we played the audio of people mm-hmm. calling dozens and dozens and dozens of Planned Parenthood asking for prenatal care, and
I think
none of them
six facilities in the United States had them. Right?
Yeah, it was
like 97%
did not have prenatal. They said we don't offer prenatal care. Go to a doctor for that, not Planned Parenthood. So they even the people who work at Planned Parenthood know they don't actually do.
We're
that.
About killing the prenates. So
and of course the stat is completely BS as well. The way they manipulate that statistic is if you go in and the first thing you say is I want an abortion. Mm-hmm. What they will do is they will give you a pregnancy test. They will give you an STD test.
They
will give
that's two.
They will give you all sorts of different tests. I think it's five total, if I'm mm-hmm. remembering correctly. Five procedures to get to the point in which you have the abortion. That
so it's only one in five of the things right. were an abortion.
So what they'll say is, pathetic. Even when you come in, the first thing you say is, I want an abortion. If everyone who went to Planned Parenthood did that, then they would say 20% of our stuff is abortions. If yeah. everyone went there and every single person demanded an abortion as they walked in the door, they would be like, oh, it's only 20% of our procedures are abortions because they're lying to you. Right.
Right.
So and that's blatantly obvious. The other part, the way to test this is if Planned Parenthood did this.
It's like Jeffy eating an entire meal, like a seven course mm-hmm. meal and saying, I only ate one thing.
Right. Right.
It was dinner. Right. Yes, but there were 136 items in that dinner.
Still just a dinner. No,
still just dinner.
Still just a dinner.
If you were to do this experiment right now, and you were to say Planned Parenthood were to restructure their organization, and what they would do is to say, you know what, we have Planned Parenthood A and Planned Parenthood B. Planned Parenthood A will offer mammograms and cancer screenings and we hand out birth control and do all sorts of things like that. And what we'll do is in the same organization, we'll build a wall and we'll call it Planned Parenthood B. And it's an actual separate organization, not the same one, but a different company. And we'll call it, you know what? You've planned your parenthood so poorly that you're going to abort the kid. That's what we'll call that one.
Mm-hmm.
If you, there would be zero opposition. Outside of some, you know, libertarians who just generally don't want to fund private organizations at all, which I'm fine with, but there would be there are plenty of organizations that are funded for those other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They just, if you would get rid of the abortion part of your
organization. No one would have
organization,
a problem with Planned Parenthood.
And there are hundreds of organizations who do the other things uh-huh. who have no problem with funding.
Right.
The only issue is abortion. It has right. nothing to do, if you separated the two into a different company, then there would be no problem with it. The issue is that people don't want to fund abortions. That's a big issue.
But it's turned into the mammograms. It's turned into the prenatal care, none of which they do. It's turned into that's where you can get contraception. Well, you can get contraception anywhere. But and you go back to the Sandra Fluke testimony where she said that it costs $3,000 for the contraception at law school. Well, okay, a condom is 20 cents. So you're talking, in order to get to $3,000 for that, if you used a condom, that's
right.
15,000 times you used one. That's a lot.
Right. And of
course, I guess we're supposed to pay for all of that.
Not just one type of birth control, all types of birth control.
Yes.
Right?
She wants the pill. She wants everything.
She wants, and I would say $3,000 she's talking. I mean, because the pill is $4 a month at Walmart. So she's not talking about the pill.
Wow.
She's talking about.
Are you 486 maybe?
Or what are those things that the implantable ones? Or I don't know.
IUDs?
It's got to be one of those high level.
One of them explodes and blows up trucks. The other you implant and or you put in.
Oh, and that's an important point we should say. Make sure you pick the right one.
Yeah.
If you're going to implant one, don't pick an IED.
Don't do the IED.
That's bad. You don't want to do that. You want to pick the other one. But, you know, again, the question is, should we be funding any of that is a whole other thing. To the point of, and this is maybe the theme of the show today, mm-hmm. It's not just about a disagreement. It's about saying the idea that we're at the point where churches, it's hateful for a church to not support and provide payment for their employees to get abortions or drugs that the church itself believes is abortion, whether you think it is or not. It's a religious organization. Should they have the right to not fund those things? Those things are the hateful arguments that go to the Supreme Court. I mean, shouldn't the argument be, hey, maybe people should pay for their own stuff? Like, maybe if you want those things, you should pay for them. And if you don't want the things, then you don't pay for them. Maybe we shouldn't be funding Planned Parenthood at all.
Especially when it comes
when they do this stuff.
Sex acts. You know, if you want to do them, go ahead. You pay for it. We're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal to me that that whole testimony from her was even entertained.
Yeah.
And not just entertained, but well-received.
Yeah.
She was a hero for a while.
And more than that, just like with the Chris Cuomo thing, it's mythology if you disagree with me.
Yeah.
Mythology.
Yeah.
That is where we are today. Now, Jeff, you have a much different perspective in that, like, you don't think that people should pay you to have sex. You actually typically would pay for those activities. You're actually,
I mean,
but that's a whole different story.
Different
we don't
person.
Have any more time, Jeffy.
Oh, okay.
We're all out of time.
Okay, we're all
888-727 back. More Pat. Pat and Stu and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program coming up. We're all out of time. Never mind.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program
with Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn as he travels back. He'll be back tomorrow. 888-727 back. By the way, we talked about the Oscar Awards a little earlier and their big snafu of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the biggest announcement of the night, the Best Picture Award, and they screwed it up. They said it was La La Land when in actuality, Moonlight won. So Moonlight was Best Picture. Best Actor, Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
Bad. Ben's little brother.
Come on, yes.
He does look like he's pretty good in that movie, but I have not seen it.
I don't know.
Manchester by the Sea was the movie. Emma Stone in La La Land, she was really good. In that supporting actor,
guy from Moonlight,
Mahershala Ali from Moonlight,
yeah, he's really
supporting
good.
Actress.
You'd know him from House of Cards, too.
Viola Davis from Fences. The animated feature went to Zootopia, which I sort of had on for the grandkids over the weekend. I didn't really watch it. It looked like it might have been fun. Obviously, it's a message. Movie.
Fences is an interesting one. It's Denzel Washington. He was nominated for Best Actor, did not win. But there's a part they keep showing over and over again, where the son asks Denzel, you know, why don't you like me, Dad? And he says, like you? He's like, I don't have to like you. That's not my job to like you. I'm here to give you food. I'm here to give you shelter. It is not about me liking you.
It was great.
And while it's a very harsh scene and obviously, like, you know, he's kind of shown as a jerk in it, we do need a dash of that in our society.
Just a dash.
Just a dash.
It's a good line, though, when he talks about his mom being pregnant and having the baby, and we made the deal of having you, but liking you wasn't part of it.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, but liking you wasn't part of it. And you don't want to go full Denzel there?
No.
As a parent? But, like, as a society, we could use a dash of that right about now. Just a dash. Mm-hmm. Just a dash of us realizing that not everything's going to be coddled, and everything's going to be special, and everything's going to be warm. You need a dash of, like, hey, you know, this is kind of up to you. Yeah. Whether I like you or not has as much to do with you as it does with me. I'll do my duty as a parent, but, you know, you got a part in this as well when it comes to liking.
Yes.
Just a dash. Just a dash. Just a dash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not a heaping tablespoon.
And it was
dash.
Sad news yesterday, too, that Bill Paxton died, too.
Yeah, that was sad.
I'm a huge fan of Bill.
Yeah, he's a good actor. And then the other thing we were kind of interested in was the documentary feature. O.J. Made in America won.
Yeah.
And we
really good,
all saw that. That was a really good, really compelling.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved really nicely done documentary.
Interesting, too, that was a TV documentary.
Yeah.
That was not a theatrical release, right? That was on ESPN. I mean, maybe they released it quickly in theaters to, like, get the qualification.
Maybe. I don't know. That's amazing.
Because there was two series that went on, the one with acting in it, and then this one, the documentary that aired on, it was 30 for 30.
Wow.
Part of that.
That's right. Pretty weird. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Glenn will be back then.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.